John chapter 1, and we'll go ahead and read our text and then we'll pray together. We'll begin in verse number 1 of John chapter 1, and let's read down through verse 5 together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And let's read verse 14 also. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let's bow for prayer. Father, thank You for this beautiful Lord's Day. Thank You for the Christmas season, the Christmas holiday, and all the enjoyable things that it is just packed with. And we thank You for special times like that. I pray that those who will be getting together with family, that it would just be a sweet time of fellowship with their families, a time of rejoicing just in Your goodness, God, and Your mercies toward us. And then as we remember the birth of our Savior and Your unspeakable gift that You sent to us, Lord, may our hearts be filled with praise and gratitude to You for providing salvation for us, for humbling Yourself to come to this earth as a little baby for us. And I pray that during our church services throughout this day, that You would just impress on our hearts all that You did for us. May we gain a greater appreciation for that and just be reminded of how much You love us. We pray that Your Word would have free course. We ask that You'd help each of our Sunday school teachers during this hour by Your Spirit. We pray that You would minister to those who are not able to be here today because of health needs. We ask that You would heal the Lewises. Pray that You continue to strengthen the Fowlers and others in our church family with physical needs. For those who have other circumstances that are preventing them from being here against their will, I pray that You would just give them a special blessing and encouragement today. And for those that are simply away traveling and are with family and things like that, we ask for Your safety for them as they travel and for Your blessing on them, and that each and every one of us might remember You in all our celebrating. Lord, as we open Your Word now, we again ask for the help and guidance of Your Spirit. And Lord, may You be pleased by all that we say and do in this place throughout this whole day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you follow along in your Sunday School quarterly, you note that the title of this morning's Sunday School lesson is The Light of Christmas. The Light of Christmas, a part of the Christmas celebration. How many of you have gone to a Christmas light display during the course of this season? Okay, a few. If you've never gone, by the way, there's this place in Inman called the Christmas House. It's kind of nice. We've been through there several times, and now I see up at the Tryon place, Tryon Equestrian place, there's another light display. Anyhow, yeah, we have lights. We have lights in our auditorium decorating things for the Christmas season. People decorate their houses and that, and there's a purpose behind that, and it looks beautiful, of course, but those things all harken back to the night on which Jesus was born, when that appearance of the glory of God appeared to those shepherds that night. They saw the light or glory of God. It also points us back to that star that pointed the wise men, first of all, to Jerusalem, and then it reappeared and directed them to the very house where the child was then at Bethlehem. So all these lights have been part of Christmas from the beginning. But more importantly, the Christmas story reminds us of how God, who is light, as John tells us in 1 John 1:5, how He came into this world as a little child that He might bring to all true spiritual light. Spiritual light that can lead us out of the darkness of sin and give us eternal light and life by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we think about God's coming as light into the world, there's an application for us that He has made us as Christians to be lights in the world. Just as that star pointed those wise men to Jesus, so we have been placed in this world to point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, we're going to consider that thought, the light of Christmas. We're going to see how God Himself came as light into this world, and then how He has made us as Christians to be lights in the world, pointing others to our Lord Jesus. So let's note three thoughts, three ideas this morning. Our first one is taken from John chapter 1, and then we're going to look at the book of Ephesians a little while later, but we're going to look at the Creator. Secondly, the challenge, and then the change. So we'll begin with this thought of the Creator, and that is seen in our text here in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We understand this, that the story of the light of Christmas didn't begin at Bethlehem. In fact, it didn't begin at Genesis 3:15, where we have the first promise in Scripture for the coming of the Messiah. Instead, as John makes clear here in John chapter 1, Jesus, the eternal Word, that is the eternal mind and representation of God, the Creator of all things, was already in existence before the time of creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was never created. Rather, He literally came out from within God to create all things, and then to reveal God to His creation. Paul said to the church at Colossae in Colossians 1 of Jesus, who is the image, literally the icon of the invisible God. It says, for by Him were all things created, and He is before all things, and by Him all things exist. So the light of Christmas began, well, it had no beginning really. The light of Christmas was simply the entrance of Jesus into this world in a very special way. Again, the book of Hebrews tells us that God has spoken to us by His Son. Jesus is the heir of all things. He's made the worlds. He is the brightness of His glory. Jesus is the true light. He is the light of God that reveals God to us. He is the express image of His person. But again, Christmas was not the first appearance of Jesus in this world. It wasn't the beginning of His existence, but it wasn't the first time Jesus came to earth, the one that we know as Jesus. In fact, the Old Testament Scriptures contain many examples where the Word, the second member of the Godhead, appeared to His creation. And we're not going to look at all those examples, but here are a few of them. We could go back to the Garden of Eden. And the one that walked with Adam and Eve in the garden was the second member of the Godhead. He appeared as the angel of the Lord to Abraham and Sarah, to Hagar, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, and Gideon. All those we believe were pre-incarnate appearances of the one that we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus had come into this world before, but something unique did take place at that time that we recognize as Christmas. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it was special in that He, as the Creator, did not come for just a quick few moments of an appearance. He had done that on many occasions, perhaps many occasions not even mentioned in Scripture. But the unique thing of what took place at Bethlehem was that He, as Creator, came, as John describes it in verse 14, He came and dwelt among us. That word dwelt literally means tabernacled or tented. He came and lived among us. It wasn't just like He came for one short, quick visit, said hi and bye. No, He came and set up residence among us. That's one of the special things about Christmas, that the Creator came to live among His creation. And in doing this, again, as John describes in verse 14, Jesus then revealed the glory or the light of the Father. He brought the light of spiritual truth and eternal life into this world through His death and resurrection. God came to live among us on earth so that we might receive light, believe in Him, and then be able to live with Him forever in heaven and on the new earth. Isaiah 9 tells us, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So that child was the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, coming to live among us. Matthew 1 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Paul said, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." So the Creator came to live among His creation, and in doing so, He brought to us the true light, the light of Christmas. Now, unfortunately, not everyone was nor is willing to receive the light of Christmas. Many reject that light. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ because He exposes the sin of which they refuse to repent. I mean, let's face it, if you don't want to be saved from your sin, if you love your sin and you just enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, then news about someone coming to die and save you from it isn't that great. It's like, I'd rather have my sin. So they don't rejoice in the light, they reject it. To them, the fact that light came into the world did not bring them salvation, it merely furthered their condemnation or revealed it. And John explains this later in John chapter 3, verse 19. As he records Jesus as saying this, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Everyone that does evil hates the light. They don't come to the light because they don't want to be exposed. They want to be able to continue in the works of darkness. So light has come into the world. The question for us then is this: have we come to the light? Can you on this Christmas Eve say, "Wow, I'm thankful for that time when the light shined in my heart and I quit hiding from it and I came into the light"? Can you say, "I'm saved this morning"? That is what makes for a truly merry Christmas. So there's the Creator. Secondly, let's turn to the book of Ephesians, if we could please. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to begin in verse 1. And we'll kind of bounce around in this passage. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as God also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." And then verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them," verse 8, "for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." For those who have received the light of Jesus Christ, for those who have come to the light, there is a remaining challenge for us. This challenge, as Paul describes it in verse 1 of chapter 5 in the book of Ephesians, to be followers of God. The word followers in verse 1 means imitators. It doesn't simply mean that we get in line and we walk, you know, behind God. It's not that idea, though that's included in it, but that we follow Him in the sense that we live as Jesus did on this earth. We imitate Him. That's the idea of being a follower, not just, you know, wherever He leads, I'll go, but no, I'm going to live like He did. I'm going to imitate His life. Now, when Jesus came to earth, He showed us what God is like. He turned the light on God, you might say. He opened our eyes to see what God is really like. And as followers of Jesus, we're to let His light shine through our lives by living as he did in this world. Paul says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And then in verse 2, he explains how we do that. He says, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So as Paul explains in verse 2, being imitators or followers of God means walking or living in love. The word for love in verse 2 is agape. It's not eros, it's not phileo, it is agape. This is an unconditional, unwavering commitment to the good of others. This was the kind of love which God showed to us in the Christmas story when he loved us and he sent his only begotten Son into the world to provide salvation for whoever would believe on him. I mean, that's Christmas. John 3:16 sums it up. God so loved us, he sent his only begotten Son. There's the gift so that we could have eternal life. That's the kind of love that Jesus showed. And therefore, as we follow him, as we imitate the Son of God, we're to show that same kind of love to others in our living, just as Jesus showed for us by his dying for us and rising again. As Paul explains in verse 2, this, what Jesus did, is well-pleasing to God. It was like a sweet smell of fragrance being offered up to him as a sacrifice. And that's what we're to do now by walking in love. We're to love and serve others. Again, John 3:16 tells us how God loved the whole world, and he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then in 1 John, you have the other John 3:16. 1 John 3:16, which says this, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, how does that work out, John? He says, well, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So we're to imitate God, we're to follow Jesus and walk in love. And for us, that doesn't necessarily mean dying for someone else, but it means living for others. It means being willing to give and to help meet others' physical needs, certainly, but beyond that, we could say in giving them the gospel. Now, in verses 6 and 7, Paul gives a warning. He says, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. In those verses, Paul warns against being deceived by vain, empty, or worthless words, which would present the idea that it really doesn't matter that a Christian live as light or walk in love. Paul explains that because of these things, God's wrath comes upon the children of disobedience, which would be really a description of those who don't know the Lord. Now, sometimes we disobey, but we're not children of disobedience, okay? We were that. But what are these things? Well, verses 3 through 5, the verses in between the verses 2 through 6 list these things. That is the sinful living that characterizes the lives of those who don't know the Lord. They don't follow him. They're not receiving the light. They're rejecting the light. And we don't need to reread all those things, but again, in verses 3 through 5, there's some wicked things that would describe the world in which we live. But the thought is this, if God judges unsaved people for living that way, the wrath of God comes upon people because of sin. They will face that ultimately in hell and in the lake of fire. But if God judges unsaved people for living that way, then certainly he does not want his children his children who have received his light, those who are dear children, as John or Paul describes it in verse 1, to be living in a way that dishonors Christ. And again, we might be reminded that though we are saved from God's wrath, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We'll never spend a moment in hell. We'll never be judged for our sins or condemned in our sins. Jesus took all that upon him. It's still true that God chastens or disciplines and punishes even his children when they walk in disobedience. That's what Hebrews 12 teaches us. How God chastens those whom he loves. He rebukes, he scourges every son whom he receives. Paul said in that passage, furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So Christ as the Creator brought light into this world. We've been left with the challenge to imitate Jesus in this world. We're to be followers of God, imitators of God, by walking in love just as Jesus did. And Paul warns us that we cannot merely think that, you know, it really doesn't matter if I follow or imitate the Lord. No, it does, because if God will judge the unsaved for living like this, he certainly will not tolerate wicked living or walking in darkness by his own children. He will chasten and discipline us to help us walk in the light. And that leads us to our third and final thought this morning. That is the change. The change. The Creator, the challenge, and the change. Let's pick up in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So again, in verse 6, Paul gives the second of six walk instructions in this letter. You find that those words, that word walk, in chapter 2 and verse 10, God's created or preordained good works that we should walk in them. Chapter 4 and verse 1, we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. Verse 17, we're to henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Chapter 5 and verse 2, we're to walk in love. And now, in verse 8, he says, walk as children of light. Later in verse 15, he'll tell us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So this book is very practical. It's all about our walk or how we live. But again, in verse 8, Paul says, hey, walk as children of light. When Jesus was born in that stable, perhaps a cave even, on that dark, silent night so many years ago, he came as light into the world. He, at that point, signaled the start of a concentrated attack on the kingdom of darkness. Because the child of light was born, many have become children of light. That's the great change we're talking about. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. A great change has taken place. We were darkness, living in sin, but by the light of the gospel, we've been saved out of sin, and we've been made light in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, Paul said, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Now, as we walk as children of light, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which Paul refers to in verse 9, We're able to prove and discern what is acceptable to God, what is acceptable living and thinking in God's sight as we walk as children of light, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, proving, discerning what's really acceptable to God. As we do that, the works of darkness or sin is exposed. In other words, we are to show the change which Christ has made in us. And as we show that change, it shines a light on this world. It exposes sin to lead others to Christ. We show this change that Christ has made in us, not by fellowshipping or sharing in company with those who are committing sin, but by living differently. In fact, we're not even to speak of the sinful things which are committed by others. Instead, we're to stand for truth and light. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We're to be walking as children of light, showing the change that Christ has made. This is quoted in our Sunday School Quarterly from the Life Application Bible Commentary. This preacher said, "Just as the light shines into darkness and exposes what is hidden, so the light of Christ through a believer should shine into the darkness of sin and expose it for what it is. God needs people who will take an active and vocal stand against sin and permissiveness in all its forms. Christians must lovingly speak out for what is true and right." There we see the connection between walking in love and walking in light. Some people think, well, if you're exposing sin, that's not really loving, you know. Well, love does cover sin. It doesn't unnecessarily publicly shame others. But light exposes sin, and there is love in that. Leviticus 19:17, the Lord said this to His people Israel, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart, thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him." So if we walk in love, we'll also be light by exposing and even rebuking sin. Well, during this Christmas season, when unbelievers are often more receptive of the light of the gospel, let's be careful to shine the light of Christmas by walking in love and walking in light. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for sending Your Son Jesus into this world to give us light, to show us what You are like, so that we could know You and be saved from our sins through Jesus' death on the cross, His shed blood and resurrection. Lord, please help us to follow You as dear children. Help us to walk in love and to walk as children of light. Use us even during this Christmas season as we might be around family members and those who are maybe do not know You or who are not living as they should. Lord, help us to be lights as Christians during this time of Christmas. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.